From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde in for Ross Reynolds. There are more than 7,000 people living with HIV or AIDS in King County. Today, we're going to take a closer look at the latest on testing and treatments. Dr. Golden is the Director of Public Health for King County's HIV and STD programs, and he joins us now. Dr. Golden, thanks so much for being here.
Nice to be here, David.
If you're HIV positive and you've got questions or you would like to share a story with us, give us a call. It's 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-5869 or 1-800-289-5869. You can also write to us at conversation@kuow.org. So in King County, who faces the biggest risk of contracting HIV?
The group at highest risk in King County are men who have sex with men. So approximately 80% of people living with HIV in King County are men who have sex with men.
And why are you using that phrase as opposed to, you know, gay or homosexual men?
Well, men who have sex with men is more inclusive. It includes men who – it's a behavioral definition. So it includes people who may not be gay identified.
Okay. And based on your work, who's getting tested on a regular basis? Because that's a big part of this.
Mostly men who have sex with men are the ones getting tested on a regular basis.
So that's good. Are the numbers up or down? What are you seeing?
Overall, we're seeing a decline, actually, in new infections in Seattle or in King County. Nationally, though, there has not been a decline. And the decline locally has been greatest in injection drug users, although we actually are seeing it across all groups.
And why is that? Why are you seeing the change?
Well, I think that probably needle exchange works, and I think that we have a pretty successful effort in Seattle or in King County that men are tested very widely, that treatment has been extremely effective and is very widely available.
We're talking about the latest on testing and treatment for HIV and AIDS with Dr. Matthew Golden. He's the Director of Public Health for King County's HIV and STD Control Program. And if you've got questions for Dr. Golden, the number to call, 206-543-5869. So the other part of this is who's not getting tested?
Our hardest group to reach actually are non-gay identified men who have sex with men and heterosexuals who have HIV infection. So HIV remains a relatively rare infection among heterosexuals in King County. So it's a little bit like looking for a needle in a haystack. And so that has been more challenging.
And what can you do to try, or what are you doing to try to turn that around?
So the main part of the strategy is actually to increase testing as part of routine medical care. So as of this year, the CDC is recommending that all adults between the ages of 16 and 65 be tested for HIV at least once in their lifetime. And so the objective here is to really define those people who are infected by just making this a normal part of care.
One of the statistics that stuck out when we were researching this program, it's a majority of people with HIV in King County are white men between the ages of 20 and 40 years old. Seems like that's different from the national statistic. How do we compare on that score?
Well, I think nationally, the population that in which HIV is growing most is African-American men who have sex with men.
And is that just a demographic difference?
Part of it is a demographic difference, but we don't actually seem to see the same level of disparities among men who have sex with men that are observed nationally.
Dr. Matt Golden here. He's the Director of Public Health for King County's HIV and STD Control Program. And we're going to take some calls here in just a minute. If you'd like to get in line, give us a call, 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. There was a story in the Seattle Times today about Timothy Ray Brown. He's from Seattle, and he's actually the first person to be cured of HIV. What do you think the importance of his story is for people living with HIV in King County?
Well, I think it demonstrates that a cure is possible and has provoked, sort of prompted an avenue of research. I don't think the specific way that he was cured through bone marrow transplant represents an option for very many people.
Because it's difficult. It was a very unique kind of bone marrow transplant.
That and bone marrow transplant is pretty dangerous. So if you had to choose between antiretroviral therapy and a bone marrow transplant, I think you would choose more conventional antiretroviral therapy.
Probably. So this treatment wouldn't be recommended for people?
It would not.
Also, just on the behavioral question, what happens when people get diagnosed with HIV? to behaviors? I mean, how does that diagnose change behaviors from what you see?
So I think most people change their behaviors. So most people get it and do make an effort to diminish their risk of transmitting HIV to their sex partners, but they don't change their behavior as much as we'd want them to. Of course, all of us fall somewhat short of our highest aspirations, and behavior change is hard. So we do see changes, and I think testing positive is probably the single most potent behavioral intervention there is. At the same time, you know, it's not enough.
And how often should people be getting tested?
It depends a little bit on risk. So among higher-risk men who have sex with men, we recommend testing every 3 months. And we define people as being at higher risk, or men who have sex with men as being at higher risk, if they've had a bacterial STD in the last year, they've had 10 or more sex partners, if they're having unprotected sex with partners of unknown or different HIV status, or if they've used methamphetamine or poppers.
And what about just everyone? Should everyone be getting tested these days? I've seen recommendations that suggest that that's the case. What do you guys think?
So I think they should be. So among lower risk men, which are would be gay men, which is to say men who have sex with men who don't have one of those risks, we'd recommend annual testing. And then in the rest of the population, we would recommend that they test at least once during their adult lifetime.
We're talking about HIV and the treatments, the latest on testing, with Dr. Matthew Golden. He's the director of public health for King County's HIV and STD program. And we want to take some calls here in just a minute at 206-543-5869. If you're living with HIV, if you know somebody who's living with HIV, if you've got a story, if you've got a question, give us a call, 206-543-5869. I'm wondering, you know, how this has kind of changed in recent decades. I mean, how the experience of living with HIV has changed for people here in King County, for example.
Well, I think the change has probably been the single most dramatic change in all of medicine. And we've gone from having a fatal, untreatable new sexually transmitted infection to extremely treatable infection, such that most people diagnosed with HIV infection in a place like Seattle can expect to live a normal lifespan.
And how have the treatments changed? What's being offered today that wasn't in the past?
Well, I think our treatments are much more potent, much less toxic, and much simpler to take. So, you know, people really don't take these horrible, great handfuls of toxic medications anymore. Most people are being treated with 1 to 3 pills once a day. And those therapies are extremely well tolerated.
Dr. Matthew Golden is with us. He's the director of public health for King County's HIV and STD control program. And we're going to go to the phones right now. We've actually got Bobby Hollow on the line. He's been living with HIV for the last 6 years, and he also helps run a support group for people living with HIV here in Seattle. Bobby Hollowell, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Can I ask you how you contracted HIV in the first place?
It was through a stupid night. I went to the bar and had a few too many drinks and went home with somebody and didn't take the proper precautions.
And one of the things that we want to kind of get into is how people's experience of living with HIV has changed in recent decades. But I'm just wondering, for you, in the present, how much of a stigma is there in a place like Seattle living with HIV?
Not as much as in other parts of the country. I mean, certainly the ignorance of HIV is still out there, but King County especially has been doing a lot to try to curtail that. I actually moved from Virginia, and out there the stigma is still, it's horrible. I mean, I faced rejection every day. I made sure I hit it every chance I got, whereas out here, it's not as bad. I mean, I've been with my partner now for 3.5 years, and he's negative, and the reception to people finding out about my status has actually been very positive.
So what was that like in Virginia? Did it affect your work as well as your dating life?
Dating life especially, because the moment anybody found out I had HIV, I was treated like I had the plague. Only a very, very few people knew about it, and was ones that I could trust and knew that they wouldn't reject me for it and could help protect me. And then out here, that was even more prevalent.
What can you tell us about the support group? You run a support group, right, for folks living with HIV?
Yes. Yeah, so we meet at Seattle area support groups on Capitol Hill by the group health clinic. Seattle area support groups has been around for about, it'll be our 30th anniversary next year. And on Wednesday nights, we have a group where it's for people generally who are just diagnosed or are just coming to terms with this, with their diagnosis. And we meet, we talk about what that means for them. We talk about medications, what's coming out, what is on the market, possible generics coming out very shortly, and just any other topic that might be they are facing in life. But we don't just limit ourselves to those two categories. I mean, anybody with HIV, no matter how long they've had it, can come. And we do have people that have had it for 20-plus years that come to our group.
So is this, I don't want to say unique to Seattle, but did you find that kind of support group back in Virginia?
No. There was no support. When I got diagnosed at the local Pride, and after that, I was left up to my own devices as far as to take care of it, whereas when I moved out here, I had Lifelong to help me with insurance issues. I had SASG to help me with just the emotional trauma of it and finally coming to terms with what it meant. And being around other people that had been living with it actually gave me a better sense of what I was going to be dealing with, and actually made me feel better about it, that it's not the death sentence that it was back in the 80s. It's a very treatable and it's manageable with the proper medical supervision.
Bobby Hollowell, thanks so much for taking the time.
My pleasure.
We're talking about living with HIV and AIDS here in King County with Dr. Matthew Golden, who's still with us. He's the Director of Public Health for King County's HIV and STD Control Program. If you've got questions for him or if you've got stories to share, give us a call at 206-543-5869. Dr. Goldman, how much does that story resonate with the work that you do and some of the folks that you've talked to?
Well, I think that what Bobby said resonates a lot. It sounds exactly right. I mean, I think this really is a manageable problem for most people. And I'm glad to hear that he feels like the stigma in Seattle has not been that great. I do think that for some people, that stigma is still there and is still a big problem.
All right. Also joining us on the phone, we've got Kelly Hill. She's been living with HIV for the last 13 years, and she's a peer advocate at BABES Network, which is a network of women living with HIV. Kelly Hill, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So you run a support group for women living with HIV. How do you think women's experience differs from men's?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is I think typically women don't see themselves as being at risk. And so so they're often not taking precautions to protect themselves from HIV, or a lot of the women that we serve are becoming infected with HIV from their monogamous relationships. And so they just don't see themselves as being at risk. And I think there's been a lot of information given to them, too, for them to believe that they're not at risk. A lot of their prevention efforts have not been directed towards women. And so I think a lot of times when women come in and they're finding out they're HIV positive, first of all, they're really shocked because they didn't even think that that was going to be an issue for them.
How did you contract HIV?
I was infected from doing a very human thing, which was unprotected sex with my partner.
And as I understand it, you also have a son. Were you pregnant after you were diagnosed?
I was. I had my son. I became pregnant with my son a year after my diagnosis. And at that time, I was the first patient that my OBGYN had that was HIV positive.
So we talked about stigma earlier. What was it like for you being a pregnant woman with HIV?
Well, at that time, I was still really newly diagnosed. And so, like many of the women that we serve here, I didn't know a lot about HIV until I actually became infected with it. And like many of the women that we serve here, didn't think I was at risk. So I was still learning everything I could about HIV in general. And then you threw in the pregnancy piece, and it was much more complicated. And I was living in a more rural area. I wasn't living in Seattle at the time. I was living up north. And so I just didn't know other people living with HIV. And like I said, I wasn't as educated as I am now. And actually, the very first time I spoke publicly about my diagnosis was during my pregnancy. And so looking back, that was a very unique time for me to actually speak publicly for the first time. But I had some people who were really shocked to see a woman who was pregnant talk about being HIV positive. They didn't understand that it was possible for me to have a child and not transmit the virus to him, and actually had some people get up and leave as I was speaking because they didn't agree with my choice.
What about now? Would you say is there less stigma today?
Well, I think it depends. If you're among my circle of people, I would say yes, because I surround myself around people who are very educated about the virus. And so in that case, there is less stigma, but I don't think that's true for everyone. I'm just one person living with HIV, and I've been really fortunate that I haven't had to deal with a lot of stigma. But I work with a lot of people who, for them, that still is a huge issue for them. They have people in their lives who aren't educated about the virus, even just about basic transmission. And with that being said, that they still have people like their family members or dating, it can be really challenging for people when the people they're dealing with aren't educated about the virus at all.
All right. Kelly Hill, thanks so much for telling us about it. Dr. Golden, I want to end with a question for you. We've only got about 30 seconds left, but what are some of the resources that are out there for people currently living with HIV?
So we have extensive testing resources in the community, and I think actually you guys have a link to it on your website.
At kuow.org.
And you can also go to the public health website to find places to test. So everyone should be able to get a free HIV test, and nobody in Washington State goes without HIV treatment because of insurance problems. We can get people treated if they're infected.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being here. Dr. Matt Golden is the director of public health for King County's HIV and STD control program. Today's program was produced by Arwin Nix with Cameron Drews. We got production help from Hannah Byrne and Andy Hurst and Allie Ferguson, our engineer. And the next voice you will hear is Bernard Ouellette from KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm David Hyde.